shall we just pray? Heavenly Father, we're very grateful to be able to stand in your presence, Lord, through the shed blood and identified by the Holy Spirit and with the Holy Spirit. We know, Lord, that this is not of ourselves. For of ourselves, we would not have followed this plan, for we could not have devised it. But we know, Lord, it is by your foreknowledge, your election, your sovereignty, bringing us to this predestinated spot. Trusting, Lord, we shall go all the way to where you have predestined us, right to that inheritance, Father. And we look to you for that, Lord. We don't look to ourselves, and we just pray that we may cease from ourselves entirely, whatsoever may have to do with mankind, and just trust you entirely, Lord, and in the instrumentality whereby you have brought that trust to yourself, which in this last day we know has been by vindicated prophet. And we pray, Lord, that we'll be conscious of that ever and anon, that never at any time will we let slip those things that have been committed to us so graciously by yourself, but honor and revere them, Lord, above everything in this life. Help us in the study of your word. May it be right, Lord. We don't want to take the words that a prophet said and suit them to ourselves, Lord, but we want to use them and to teach the people, if trusting I'm right, O God, in what I'm doing, so that they get away from their own thinking and denominational concepts, the way, Lord, that I know we have to do it, not believing for 1 minute, Lord, I have conquered that entirely, because I know I haven't. I have my problems too, Lord, but you're greater than problems, and you're greater than anything, Lord, so we're trusting in you this morning to help us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, this is number 4 on the token, and before we take up our studies on page 17, we want to recall that Brother Branham is using the Exodus under God and Moses as the great type of this very hour. Now, that's what you have to recognize. If you don't recognize that, you could come up with some wrong ideas. And by that, I mean you are not thoroughly understanding what took place back there and applying it to this hour, so you know positionally where you stand and what is going on. You're able to interpret one from the other. Now, that's what Brother Branham did when he talked concerning Jehovah of the Old Testament being Jesus of the New. And he constantly illustrated by going back to the Old Testament, because you and I are conversant, I suppose, quite conversant with the New. So he's using this then as the type under himself and Moses, looking to this very hour. Now, according to Peter, we are in an epical and strategic period of God's great drama. And that epical strategic period of the great drama, which is going on now, has its type in the Exodus back there. So they're going to run right together as far as information is concerned to be of benefit to us. Now, we are coming out of Babylon and into the millennium by God and a prophet. Now, you'll notice I keep repeating that, because that is the truth. God did not go down and say, I'm going to lead you out. God did not just send a prophet and say, you lead him up. God said, we're going down together and we're going to lead him up. You see? All right, now, in Exodus 12, God required a token that he himself designated and which had to be manifested before God in order to escape death and go out. Now, you know, he wanted a token, a manifestation that he himself designated. In his designation, it was required that he would be able to see that. It had to be presented before him. Then they would be able to go out and thereby escape death and enter into the promised land. Now, only that personally applied token was recognized by God. Now, you had to personally apply. Somebody couldn't do it for you. God didn't say, Moses, I tell you what you do. You hire some boys to run up and down the street and splash the blood on the door. No. You had to personally apply it. So only the personally applied token. Now, remember, we're talking about that day in this day, and I trust your minds are realizing I am saying with Brother Branham, you must have a personally applied token to get out of here. Now, surely you understand that. But I would not try to make you feel bad by saying, hey, perhaps some of you don't understand it. But the thing is this, the mind is so tricky. Especially when it's been fortified by the devil's lie, the denominational creed and dogma the tenets which are so wrong. See, it's hard to break that crust down. See? Okay. Only the personally applied token was recognized by God, who himself was leading them out. To provide an exodus and an entrance, God ordained three prerequisites for Israel. Right. Israel had to have, number one, God himself. Number two, a God-designated and applied token. Number three, God's prophet, not just any prophet. Or Balaam could have come down there and made hay while the sun was shining. Oh yeah, it'd been a great opportunity. See, no, not just any prophet. It had to be a God-designated prophet. And God's prophet, like we had today. Our brother Branham said so many times, and deep calls to deep, do you believe me to be God's prophet? Do you believe me to be God's prophet? Not just a prophet. A prophet doesn't cut any more ice with God than a pastor, a teacher, evangelist, apostle. Because Paul said, if any man thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge the things that I write are the commandments of God. So a prophet hasn't got one thing on me. Hasn't got one thing on you. He's got an office. I tell you, where the power lies is in the revealed word by a word prophet, a God prophet. Now, he's just not just God's prophet. He's truly a God prophet because God's in the prophet. Follow? Okay. Today we have exactly the same, except our token in this age is... Except our token today, is this age's measure of the Holy Spirit through the baptism with the Holy Ghost. Now listen carefully. Our token is not blood. Our token is a measure of the Holy Spirit through the baptism. Remember, Jesus received the Spirit without measure. What measure Moses received, I don't know. For all intents and purpose, God, all of God could have been in Moses. Wouldn't have done Moses any good to say, hey, look at me, folks. It would have been, it was great for God to say he condescended, though. Then Moses could say, oh, what condescension. That would be true. Today we have exactly the same for three prerequisites. Except our token is this age's measure of the Holy Spirit through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And whereas Israel's token was the physical carrier only of life, our token is the life itself in its proper measure, and we ourselves become the carriers of that life, and we are therefore the chemistry of the life. In other words, we become the blood of God. Because the life is in the blood. The bride is the blood of God. I didn't say that on my own. Brother Branham said that. Well, if it's true, true. I don't care how startling it is. Sometimes we need these startling goodies to wake us up and bring us to the place where we realize just what is going on. Thus we have God in the form of the Holy Spirit in the pillar of fire, and the measure of the Holy Spirit as our personal token and God's prophet. These three are required to bring us out in our journey of the going in. Now, many people do not see this. It does not become real to them that the Lord Jesus Christ has already descended with the shout and is here to raise the dead. Now I'm going to lower my voice. Am I loud enough for the back, or do you want this cranked up? Is it okay? Because I don't mind if it sounds real loud to me. You just have what you want, because I've got to keep my voice down. Now, I said here, it does not become real to many people that the Lord Jesus Christ has already descended with the shout. Now, you know what that means positively. He came down and proved who it was that came down, manifested, gave his own word. Anybody denies that? You're just not full of the Holy Ghost, that's all. I mean, let's just... Amen. That's not a hard thing to tell you, people. That should encourage you. This is not to hurt anybody. This is to set people straight. I trust we're setting people straight. And he's here to raise the dead. They missed the point that the great token himself, the great seal of the spiritual pyramid. Remember Brother Branham said in the seals that the pyramid on our dollar bill does not have a cap on it. But it's got the great seal of the United States on it. The great seal himself, the great sealer, who is the great seal, stature of perfect man, eight, not seven virtues, the last one not being a virtue but a person, the Holy Spirit. God come down, sealing us in, totally in control, a bride under God, one with God, marriage, union, waiting for wedding supper. And he is here to take us into the millennium. In other words, the cornerstone which the builders rejected, remember, he's the chief cornerstone, has become the headstone. Now, when was he down here in the seven church ages as a physical being? He wasn't. He showed himself in the day of Pentecost, showed himself to Paul. But now at the end time, the cornerstone becomes the headstone and has been brought forth with cryings of grace, 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 shouting and crying. And those who are spirit-filled have the required token to make it, both in and out. Out and in, I should say. Coming out and going in. Now, it is token and token-giver time. It's not just token time. It's been token time for seven ages. We'll show you that. But this is different. This is token time and token giver time, the great token himself, now in this last age. The token itself could not come until evening time. For seven church ages, the true spirit-filled church has waited for a headship to return. Now, that's right. Now is that hour. Brother Branham categorically said, I'm not riding the midnight trail saying he's coming. He's already done come. Now, what coming was he talking about? The coming to us, getting us ready for the catching away, going to him when he incarnates himself. Now, many people not understanding think that those in the bride before us were not full of the Holy Spirit. That's not so. Now, I'm not an organized religion. Brother Branham says, remember, I believe that Martin Luther had the Holy Spirit. Absolutely. Maybe not. Now, that maybe not is just, I think, being nice. Because the truth of the matter is what he's really saying is true. Maybe not, he says, in the portion it is today, because it wasn't given out. So he said, the maybe part, you see, he obviated when he said, because it wasn't given out. Now, why would he say maybe if he didn't, if he was in real doubt and he turns around and tells you flat, it wasn't given out. So you see, the measure of the Word and the measure of the Spirit is the same. Amen. And you're coming from a growth and a reformation to a restoration. See? Now, with that, in the church age, where I specifically asked Brother Branham, I said, you weren't trying to tell anybody that Luther wasn't baptized with the Holy Ghost in Wesley. He said, no, by no means. Now, here's this. Now, before we close it, that's the 13th chapter, I want to bring this thought. All along we've been talking about the seed of wheat being buried. Now watch this. Then sending up some shoots, then the tassel, then the true ear. This might make some wonder if we said that the Lutherans didn't have the Holy Spirit just because they basically taught justification. It might make some wonder about the Methodists, etc. No, sir. We are not saying that. We are not talking about the individuals or the people, but the age. Luther had the Spirit of God. How could he be a church age messenger and be the Holy Spirit to the people and have the Word if you didn't have the Holy Ghost? You tell me that, then I can tell you, you better forget everything you ever read in your Bible. Because, you know, God's not a fluky kind of a flaky kind of a person, brother, sister. He's holy and righteous. This would be very serious for anyone to attribute to God a letdown of his godality, his sensuality of his innate, complete righteousness. You just can't make him anything but what he is. Very dangerous. Luther had the Spirit of God. But his age was not the age of full restoration by another outpouring like in the beginning. It was the same with Wesley, Booth, Knox, Whitfield, Brainerd, Jonathan Edwards, Mueller, etc. Surely they were full of the Holy Ghost. Yes, they certainly were. But the age in which each lived was not the age of restoration. Neither was any age but this last age, the age of complete blackout and apostasy. So the thing is going to run its course. The wheat gathers in the garner and the chaff is burned up, see? This is the age of apostasy, and this is the age of restoration. It is the age of the finished cycle. The drama is over. With this, it is all over. All right. Now, remember,
Their days, that's Luther, Wesley, and Pentecost, were not Exodus time. It wasn't. Which had to be under the personal, that's Exodus, had to be under the personal leadership of God and a God prophet and a mark of identification. Now, the mark of identification has to be specified. Now, let's watch carefully. It didn't say, now, hey, I tell you what you do. Somewhere down the road, it's going to be fine to get some blood. And actually, you've been shedding blood, and here's an excess of that blood. What you do, you go back and get that blood. Then what you do, you take that blood, a little bit solid. There's chemicals you can use, you know. And there's different ways you get that blood liquid again. And then you put that on the doorpost. He didn't say that. He said, you get a certain lamb at a ram of the sheep or goats, and it's got to be exactly a certain age, exactly a certain type, of exactly a certain time, and that's what you get. You don't look back, you don't look forward. So everything was under a specific time. So when we're dealing with the Exodus of this hour, you must deal with the specific time. What's that word? Specificity of time? It's got now specify this. But there's a certain word in there. It doesn't matter. Anyway, it's got to be 100% specific. You don't go one side or the other. It's got to be right with it. See, so when we're talking now then about a token, we are not talking about a token that has been applied, though the blood shed back there was just as good as the blood being shed at this minute. And the Holy Spirit back there is just as good as the Holy Spirit at this minute. But that minute's not this minute. See, there's a difference. You could take the blood and analyze it. Hey, that's the same thing. Well, that's great, but it didn't flow in the veins of this lamb at this hour. You understand what I'm saying? So therefore, you understand we talk about this token. It's the same Holy Spirit, but there is that difference. You follow what I'm saying? Otherwise, look, you can't, brother, sister, let's understand this. A time element can destroy you. Because if you put a scripture in a wrong time element, you're gone. There's no way to come back. So hear me what I'm saying this morning. I'm trying to be faithful to what Brother Branham said, to bringing this much to my mind by the help of the Lord, hoping and trusting it's the help of the Lord, to bring this across to you. Now let's get this very clear. To do so, we go back to Pentecost. Acts 2, 7, 37 to 39. Now let's look at it. Because look, this is the Bible, and Brother Branham cannot go outside the Bible. If he does, who needs him? Give him to the Mormon church. That's all. Mormons went outside the Bible. Then they threw us all a curve by predicting Brother Branham would come on the scene. Don't tell me they can't be, false ones can't be anointed. Ha! But thank God our prophet wasn't Joseph Smith, who said he dug up about a couple of tons of gold plates and had to have somebody interpret them. We had God himself come down and do his own interpreting. Praise the Lord. Or we're a billion miles ahead of anything. But just let us keep in touch and abreast with God. Now, they said, men and brethren, what are we going to do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And you'll receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise unto you and to your children, and all that are far off, even as many as are Lord our God. You got what promise? If you repent, you get the Holy Ghost. Now, remember, nobody can come except the Lord call him. All that are called will come. With many other words did he encourage him. Over here now, Acts 1 and 8, but you'll receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost come upon you. Give witness unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and uttermost parts of the earth. Like that tells you where the baptism can take you. Although the first stage they got to the uttermost parts of the earth, Thomas got to India, and somebody got to China. Who knows where in that first century? It just was tremendous. But that's not the point we're dealing with. What we're dealing with here is the fact that Brother Branham talked to a man about an apostolic age. And the man said, the apostolic age is finished. And Brother Brown said, pray tell, when did that age finish? And he quoted him this very scripture I read, as many as the Lord our God shall call. He said, sir, is God still calling? He said, yes. Then he said, who closed the apostolic age? The man took to put his hat in his head and walked off. He said, no harm done. See, Brother Brown said, it takes the Holy Ghost to show. Now, what is this promise about? The Holy Spirit to everyone that's called that you'll be sealed in. Now, that's very good for those ages back there. But that won't do for today. Not that it's not the same Holy Spirit. It's a different hour. It's a different measure. It's a different word. God Himself is on the scene. Now, a little later on, which I'm afraid won't be this morning, we'll touch where Brother Branham touches, 237 to 39. Now, I hope you can see exactly the truth I'm trying to say, if indeed it is the truth, and I trust it is. This is not Mark 16. Now, notice Mark 16 has been through the ages. You know, the Pentecostals wanted to so desperately to prove the tongues was the evidence, and that was Pentecostal for years. So I read all their desperate books. Like Brother Bosworth, he said, I knew every argument in the Bible and every argument out of the Bible. And I laughed because I was in the same category until I ran across a fellow. I laid his book down. I'd never pick it up again. The guy from Dayton, Brother Dayton. Nothing against the man. I don't even know if I remember his name even. But I have never seen such. Well, you've heard this is the age of trivia. Well, it's trivia except for one thing. Souls get damned by trivia. And it's trivia that causes us to lose our sincerity and let the weeds grow up and choke out the light. So trivia is a very, very horrible thing. But believe me, when you read what he wrote in the light of what I have read by consecrated men, going back to the days of the old Quakers and the old Puritans and great people of God, old Presbyterians, Methodists, those great, great ones, Baptists, all in there had their great, wonderful people, like Dr. Morrison of the Nazarenes and Uncle Buddy Robinson, and different ones like that. His book was the most superficial and peculiar thing I've ever read in my life. You talk about twisted. It was horribly, horribly perverted. But anyway, the Pentecostals have traced history back, and amongst the Anabaptists, and amongst the Irvingites, and amongst, oh, you name it. Look, my memory's not good anymore. I can get you the books if you want them bad enough. And you can read for yourself where they trace back that every age somebody was found spoken in tongues. And they see it always was the evidence. This always was the Holy Spirit, but it wasn't. A gift is not the Holy Ghost. As Brother Branham said, you have a pair of shoes and you've got a couple of tongues in your shoes. Why, he said, the tongues aren't the shoes. He said, they're just part of it. They just come with the shoes. Why, he said, if I give you a gift, he said, I don't give you myself, I give you a gift. And that's the thing you've got to realize. The gift of the Holy Ghost is not the Holy Ghost himself. It's something from his heart. It's that little molecule. That little bit in there. See? That microcosm, so to speak. Okay. Now, it's the apostolic age then, isn't it, in the sense of gifts of tongues and all those things. Like, they say, well, there it is. And we can prove the tongues were spoken of. The seven church ages have had the baptism with the Holy Ghost for every bride member, because unless you're sealed in by the Holy Ghost, you don't have the earnest of your redemption of your body. Now listen, the baptism with the Holy Ghost is not the redemption of your body. It's the sign or the token proving that you're going to have a redemption. You follow what I'm saying? So that's what we're looking at. So understand, brother, sister, that when you talk of the Holy Spirit in you, according to Romans, it'll quicken your mortal bodies at the hour of the resurrection. I want you to know something. It is not automatic. It's your identification. See? Look at the time of Israel. Elisha died of the sickness where he was sick. They buried him in a cave. Some people were taking flight for some enemies. A man on the road died. So the poor old fellow, they couldn't take him any further. They knew that he'd be too bad, he couldn't get away from the enemies. So they threw him in the cave, not knowing it was Elisha's cave. And the bones were down there, just as live, just as living as all get out. And the body hit those bones, and the man came up and walked out of the cave, and he joined the fleeing crowd again. You can see in there, brother, sister, what we're talking about. You have that in you which identifies you, like Elijah's bones identified Elijah. If they'd have thrown in any other cave, he wouldn't have come out. See? And I'll tell you, just as soon as that man came out of the cave, resurrected, you bet they wanted to find out whose cave that was. He said, I hit that dead man's bones down in there, and I just came to. They say, hey, we better check this out. That's interesting. They had something in their minds, don't worry, like I would. A good Jew, you know, you don't fool with him. He knows where there's a buck to be had and some good thing to get his hands on. And so they would check it out. They must have checked it out because the Bible says so. Else, how would they know? So you see what we're trying to bring to your attention here. All the ages, there was a ceiling in. And Brother Branham said there is it's a temporary thing. It runs out, which we saw that it positively does. Now, we go a little further. That is why Brother Branham could say, you Lutherans potentially had the Holy Ghost. You Lutherans potentially. And when he said that to Pentecostals, why, listen, I want to tell you right then. That's when he did the rotten tomatoes begin coming. Only that's quite a nice expression. They called him a devil, everything else. Said they wouldn't take it. See? The only potential. He wasn't saying, hey, you Lutherans weren't full of the Holy Spirit with the measure of what you had in your day. That sealing in is going to get you out of the grave. Because if that is the token, the earnest of redemption, see? They have it. Now, we've got to have the same thing, but brother, sister, our earnest of redemption doesn't put us in the grave to get us out. It keeps us out. There's another measure there. Don't you understand what I'm saying? Look, in God is everything. In God, as He was just God, was the ability to begin to manifest Himself. At the same time was the ability to begin to create. At the same time was the ability, and He had to be Savior. But everything had to be in His due course. So we've got a God over seven church ages, put everything in His due course. And now we're to the last course, where it's all over. See? The Holy Spirit's been doing it all the time. But Alpha's Omega, cornerstone is capstone today. We're right back to the original, see? Now, he said, you Lutherans, protect that. Now watch. He said, the church fell in the ground and died. What did it take with it? It took the earnest. Well, it must have. Your body's a temple. That life touched it. All those cells got to come back. Now he said, under Luther, you could see a little bit of a stalk. Why? He said, and that looked more like the original than in the Dark Ages. Two little sprouts and looked like original. What's he talking about? Well, the corn of wheat that fell on the ground. Now he said, under Wesley, it came up and it got into a nice big stalk and went into tassels up there. Oh, he said, my. That began to look a whole lot more like it. Then he said, along came formed in the ear. And he said, we said, that why anyone would say that's got to be it. See? In other words, you're back to where you recognize what you want and what you planted for. See? Okay. But he said, we found there was fungus on the ear. And there was, too. And that's very true. And he said, it wasn't it. And he said, in that shuck that looked like, it was the real thing, and there was nothing there. A life was coming from the shuck. And he said, you could take what? He said, a high power scope. But he said, 30 something. I don't know what he called it. 30 power or something. It might be 130 for all I know, because I don't know telescopes, except I pick one up and look at it. I don't even need about them. Power's power. You tell it. I don't. But anyway, he said, you could look a certain power, and maybe way down in there you could see that little life forming to what it was. Now, when that ear of corn had on it exactly what went down in there, you've come back. When did the Holy Spirit manifest Himself in those seven church ages, and especially Luther, Wesley, and Pentecost, 5, 6, and the 7th, as he did in the tail end of the 7th, when he showed exactly what went down in the ground, came back now to the Gentiles. But that's what he's talking about. You've got to put this all together in your thinking. And your thinking, brother, sister, is not going to come from the theology of this world. It's going to come from God, true theology, from a prophet. And I'm trying to sort it out for you to help you to see what he was saying, because it's got to come together. You can't just take one part of it and leave the rest of it be. There's no way for it. See? So here we are at the end time. We're back. Now, the exact ministry proves exactly who is there. Right. The next thing, why is he there? That will be a covenant. All of this has to be in this book. Christ revealed in his own word. Logos himself in our midst. How will he deal with us? Only one way he ever did, by a prophet. See? So, God, prophet, now what? There's a token. What token? This token. Not that token under justification. Now, are you following? Now, please try to follow. We'll go a little deeper, a little more in this as time goes on. And I'm not going to get there this morning. Look, there's no way. Even if I just recap 3 or 4 Sundays or meetings here and then just let you read the book yourself, that's going to be more good than just trying to read the whole thing through. See, look. It's a lot like Brother Branham talked about the character of God, his offices. He said, look at me, he said, I'm a son, he said, I'm a husband, I'm a father, I'm a grandfather. Now, he said, it takes a process of time, but it's the same person all the time. Amen. In other words, what is this same God doing? And how is he doing it in relationship to you and me? At the end time, what he needs to have done, it requires the prophet. It requires himself. Then he requires of us. See? Not what was under Luther and Wesley and Pentecost. See? Not that. That life won't do. You understand what I'm saying? That life come up in the stalk. Cut it off. Boom. Where's your corn? It's gone. Nowhere. Let it go further up to the tassel. Cut off. Where's it gone? Nowhere. It's finished. Now bring it right to this hour. Though the life is the same, it is not the same. You follow what I'm saying? Look, I'm a great-grandfather. That's not the same being grandfather. You better believe it. Shh. Forget it. I was in my 40s for the grandfather. I think I was. Shooey. And a grandfather wasn't half bad. I bought as much vitality as when I was being father. But then I didn't have the vitality as father had been being son either. That's when you could tear around. Well, I never did learn how to keep up my energy, so that's my fault, not yours. But it's the same old life. But I'll tell you, neither does, if I had learned anything, which I don't know that I really have, when I look to see what could have been learned, speaking spiritually and living up to it spiritually, my goodness me, I should be millions of miles ahead than when I was 16 or 18 when I first got converted. Now, my knowledge is certainly abundant to what it was 20 years ago. But it's the same knowledge. It's the same person. There's always that same thing, but the manifestation. So therefore, you got to watch as it goes hand in glove. So in this hour, there is manifestation. And that's the spirit you're looking to get your spirit from that's going to seal you in. You don't get it back there in Pentecost. Go on back. People still want Pentecost. I could tell you some things right now, but it only makes me feel bad. It kind of gets me bitter about it. It would get you bitter, so why bother talking? It isn't worth it. No way, shape, and form. All right, now look. Where are we at? We're going to go back to Ephesians again. I love Ephesians. I never knew I'd love this book like I love it, especially chapter 1. There's everything in there. It says in verse 13 and 14, concerning, is that we should be to the praise of his glory who first hoped in Christ. not trusted but hoped in Christ there. That's to had the word hope means the where you an earnestness about an assurance in there. In whom you also hoped after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also after you believed, you received with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption. Now, it's not the redemption. It's the guarantee of the redemption. So when God, every one of those little cells of yours and mine had been touched by the Holy Ghost, and God's going to bring it back in a glorified form. There's no way you're going to miss it. See the token, the earnest of the purchased possession of the praise of glory. Now watch, verse 16, cease not to give thanks and make mention of prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what the hope is calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance is. And what is His seed and greatness is part of us who do believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ. Now listen, up above is personal, one by one. I want to ask you a question. Do people come out of the graves one by one, or do they all come out? They come out age by age. Now, Brother Branham, no doubt, would be the first one up. But you show me where they come behind Daddy Bosworth and Brother Down, so and so and so and so. You can't find that. And it also says the same thing about Jesus. Many of the bodies, the dead set, came out of the graves. Didn't say one by one. It said Jesus, then they came out. So down here, it's collective. The Spirit is now moving collectively. And it's the same Spirit that gave of Himself way back here for seven church ages. And the resurrection can only come in the seven church ages. So the great resurrector is here. Because Brother Branham said he come to Jesus Christ, God, Holy Spirit, comes down, sets Himself for the head of the church in order to raise the dead. Well, did He come down? He certainly did. Is He the head of the church? He certainly is. What's He going to do? Certainly raise the dead. That's collective. That's the great seal on the pyramid. One, and remember, the pyramid on the it's a pyramid that's on a pyramid. Why? It have to be. Because the pyramid's His body. Everything in her's in Him. He's word, she's word. Couldn't be anything else but pyramid. See? Whole thing is beautiful. Now, which He wrought in Christ raising the dead. And set in His own right hand. That's rapture. Took Him up. So what is this for? That's for this hour, and you must identify with that Holy Spirit and know that you have part of that Holy Spirit. Now, some people have an idea, well, maybe until Brother Branham came, nobody had the Holy Ghost. Ha ha, you missed the boat on that. Some people say, well, Brother Branham didn't get the Holy Ghost until, what was that last thing that went around here for a while, pre-taken from the rising of the sun or something, and nobody, Brother Branham himself didn't have the Holy Ghost until that hour. Hogwash. Why, he could be like John the Baptist for all I know. I don't believe he was, though, because the boy admitted, Brother Branham admitted, about age 22 he got born again. He said the rebirth is by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He said one and the same, so. We won't try to stretch his words out of position because it's not true. Okay, now I'm going to read paragraph 2 in page 19, and I'll go back to where he left off. What is sin? I'm going to cover this again later, so don't worry. Unbelief. You've disbelieved the message. You disbelieved the word. Now you disbelieved this book and disbelieved Logos. Because anything Logos is already here. Anything Logos has been is here. Anything Logos will be is here. God in printed form, Logos, God in manifested form. Which is this in manifested form. And in His right hour. That's how you know events will make things clear to you. Set you in your time. All things dovetail, brother. So just give it a chance. You've disbelieved the word. You disbelieved the witness of the token itself. Disbelieved the token itself in its own witness. Read your note. When it has identified itself in the midst of us. That's Ephesians 1:17. That's not Ephesians 1:13-14. You better have many. The epibaptism, the upon baptism. And you disbelieve that, no matter how much you disbelieve it, it has got to be applied. Now that's a terrible stern warning. That's just like somebody said, well, I'm not going to take those shots. You aren't? Okay, grab them. We'll see how many shots you can stand. Big 4-inch needle, about, what, 30 cc's? That'd be raised quite a bump. 10 cc's is bad enough. Okay, all right. Let's go back to page 17. We'll start reading. Israel was commanded to stay under that blood until marching orders came. Israel had a token until marching orders came. That goes two ways. Now remember, he's talking of that age and this age. Everything back there is for this age. You understand? Okay. They were to stay under the token, which is the Holy Spirit. That's the one token for seven church ages. And that took care of them until this hour. And then get under this token. And don't say, well, hallelujah, we spoke in tongues. We got gifts. Don't tell me I've been a good Christian all my life. We'll hit that, see? See, now. In other words, don't ever give up on telling people about the baptism with the Holy Ghost until you yourself are changed. Because you don't know. Don't ever give up on trying to win souls. You're under the token until you're marching orders. Now, we understand we've already marched out of Babylon. We're marching out if we already haven't. We're in the process. But I don't believe it is talking about that. If he was talking right to the very minute, till the dead come out of the grave, we don't know. Don't go from under it. See? Just like I read in Ephesians, Acts 2:37, how that the tokens applied to everyone that God calls, that baptize you into Christ, and when the last hour comes, you'll meet the great token himself, and he'll take you through. And if you recognize and be one with that word, you know that you're not missing the one thing. Token, they were sealed in there. That's true. Don't leave that. In other words, that's the great thing for you. It's not the great thing that God did. That's just part of it. It's a great thing for you. Because here's where you make it or you break it. They stayed right there till the midnight hour struck. The trumpets blew. You need that baptism. Sure, even to the place where the trumpet blows to summon us to the wedding supper. Because, you see, there wouldn't be any summoning to the wedding supper unless you were full of the Holy Ghost, which was your guarantee of immortality in this hour. Because the measure of the Holy Spirit could not give immortality. You weren't sealed in that. You're sealed in down the road. The great mystery now is something's happening in here. Couldn't happen back there. Same Holy Spirit. Wasn't the hour. The old ram's horn began to blow. Each one marched out with his provision, going to the promised land. What's your provision? What did God provide you with? Not the blood this time, but the Holy Spirit. So does a man or woman who is filled with the Holy Ghost. He's sealed away and secure from all harm and danger. His whole life displays what he is. Wherever he walks, whatever his business he does, wherever he talks with whom he comes in contact, women, associates, when he comes in contact with everything, that token is lying there. Amen. Now, Brother Branham is, as the pastor, knows his congregation. He knows what they're doing and what they're not doing. And I was very close to Brother Branham, and sometimes he talked to me about some things. He'd say, well, just to think, they think I don't know? Yeah, you better know that he knew. This is a pastoral message in this sense. And they're saying, well, we believe, Brother Branham, we got the prophet. And living the way they lived? Not all, some. How many had an applied token under those conditions? Well, you know what I'm talking about. This calls for a life. In other words, the same life that was shed, and you know what kind of life that was, that Jesus lived, is seeking bodies to live the same kind of life in, all over again. And you can't stop short of believing that. And I can't, and calling for it in my life and yours, no matter what comes. Then when he comes to death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Sure, the token lies there. When it comes to the resurrection, he'll be there. You bet he'll be right on top of the ground waiting for you. Deep calling to the deep. Like what Job said, when he calls, I'll answer. All the days I'll wait for my time. He'll desire the work of his hands. Tell me one thing that God formed outside of man and woman for the garden by his hands. He just spoke the rest, just chug, chug, you know. There's nothing to it. The work of God's hands is mankind. Those bodies. Jesus said, when I see the blood, the token, I'll pass over you. Remember, if that token was not displayed, that's personally utilized. Even the covenant was annulled. That's right. Now let's go a little further. Jesus himself said, you've annulled my covenants. You've destroyed my word, my commandments, by your traditions. Came right there to set them straight, to get them right back. They went right back to the word, understood by traditions, threw away the manifestation and God's own corrected word, which was God's understanding of what God said, not theirs. What happened? He said, you voided it. It just didn't mean, hey, you drew a line through that. No, it means you cut your throat. Now, let's bring that down to this hour. What if people don't understand and don't want to understand about God, the prophet, his prophet and the token of the hour? What if they turn that aside? Do you think they're going to make it? No way, brother, sister. Now, I know you all want to be nice. I want to be nice, too. I want to be especially nice because, you know, maybe you'll make it on your niceness and I blew it right there. Say, well, maybe you're going to, by what you say, you put some fellow out and you won't win yourself. Well, I know one thing. Only the elect are going to win. And that's based on foreknowledge, so maybe I won't make it. I'm going to tell you something. Only the elect know the word of God because all but the very elect are deceived. So you can do what you want. I don't care where you take your scripture, brother, sister. You got to come to some place where you get to the definitive. You got to come sometime to a place where you know, as Brother Branham said, you got an ultimate. Because this is ultimatum time. Else. Amen. See, there's an urgency here. Look. With that man's ministry and God's demands on that man's ministry and on that man, he had better have been serious. That's why you saw the man that you saw. And I knew the man that I knew. See? Now, the covenant was annulled. I don't care what covenant a person says he got. You turn that down, the token, which is he himself, the great token giver, the great seal. See? Automatically you will turn down what is related to it. In other words, you women that don't like a man, you don't want him to father your child. If he did, it'd be rape. God doesn't rape anybody. I put that down spiritually just where I'm trying to put it this morning. If you can't stand God himself, you can't stand the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I don't care what you say. I don't care how nice you are. You're lying right in my teeth and your teeth. Forget it, honey. You've been exposed this morning right in this message to stand in Judgment Day. And I'm exposed with you. Don't kid ourselves. I can speak like Brother Branham. How many people really know that you're born again? That's the trouble. That's why the world and all these things call, call, call. I'm not saying you won't have trouble after it. Oh, don't worry. You'll have trouble. That's when your trouble really begins. It's a different kind. Unless you're full of the Holy Ghost, like Brother Branham said, there's not enough to say, well, sure, I believe that. Do you believe it? How much do you believe it? Like the old Pentecostal song. Well, it wasn't the Pentecostal. You can't give them credit for everything. It's good. Believing is receiving. Well, it is, really. Although Pentecostal preacher did preach that. Wonderful. He said, ask, and it shall be given you. Therefore, asking is receiving. Seek and you shall find. Therefore, seeking is finding. Knock, and the door will be opened. He said, therefore, knocking is opening the door. And how many asked? How many sought? How many knocked? See, it's got to be that simple. And it is, too. That's how you receive the Holy Ghost, believe it or not. He said, that is right. The covenant was annulled. See? There was no covenant as long as that token wasn't there. Absolutely true. True. No way. God's got to bring His Word to pass. And this hour takes God Himself. And you better have what God demands you to have. Or there's no Word for you. How could there be? It's just that simple. You know, you go down the store, big sign on the door says, no credit, all cash. Well, I don't have any cash. Well, sorry about that. Well, I need bread. Well, I'm sorry about that, too. Hey, look, feller, I can sympathize with you. But I cannot give bread away free to you or anybody else and stay in business. Now, make up your mind. Now, there are places where you can go and get the money. Go and get the money. I'll give you the bread. Amen. Now, anybody can understand that. In fact, we're a little bit sympathetic with the guy that's selling the bread. Because if we're in his boots, we've got to have it too. How do you order your next batch of bread if you haven't got the money? Years ago, I was so naive as a kid, I thought I'd love to be a storekeeper's son. He got all the candy, everything else. Just, I didn't know where he got it. Didn't even think that far back. And I got older, I could see the wagon loads of grain going down the road. And I thought, now, where does the money come from? What's behind all that? So grade 4, about 9, 10 years old. I guess 10 years old. I started school late. 10 years of age, I was thinking, what's behind it all? I haven't found out this day. Except it's crooked. It's the devil behind it all. Yeah. The token stood for the covenant. Right. Right. God said, I stand behind my word to perform it. I watch over my word. I've got a zeal for my word. God made a covenant with them. Yes, sir. But the token had to be there. It wasn't in effect. The covenant wasn't in effect unless the token was there. That's right. And that's valid. That's simple. And it's not hard because the Bible said, Jesus said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts, how much more shall the Heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost than that ask Him? Now that brings it down to the simplicity. To the one-to-one, here I am, give me, here you are, get it. There it might not hear. Now we're getting back to the picture again of the illustration. And that is for this hour. I don't care if it was 4,000 years ago. Forget it. It's right today. Back and forth it goes. There might be many Jews could say, come here. I don't have any blood on my door. I want to show you something. I'm a circumcised Jew. I'm circumcised. Doesn't mean that. When I see the blood, when I see the token, not the blood when you were circumcised. No. No. Blood of the Lamb. Not went back under Wesley Finney and all those fellas. Now. Look, let me tell you something. If that miserable serpent hadn't got involved with Eve, we'd all trace every one of us back to Adam. Pure, simple, boom. Now, you can take a blood and take it all the way back to the original lamb. The original lamb blood shed for Adam and Eve and then Abel wouldn't do one bit of good here. Trace it back, same lineage, same everything. Now it'd be the same blood as far as life's concerned. That's not possible, I don't think, anymore. Everything's so changed. But it had to be shed at that time. See? Something required. Now, you may say, watch it, bring his day. I'm Baptist, Presbyterian, Methodist. What do you want to be? But when I see the token. You might say, I'm a believer. My mother's a member of this church. My daddy a member of this church. I've been a member since I was a child. Doesn't mean that. I don't lie, steal, don't do this. Don't mean that. Doesn't mean that, he said. I belong to Branham Tabernacle. I do this, that, and the other. I believe all the world. Those Jews could have said the same thing. And they were all in one place. And ethnically, they were pretty much all of one blood. Because they hadn't proliferated around the country picking up all these strange women. I know women get a lot of blame for everything. But if they weren't so desirable to men, they wouldn't be all that trouble. But the men create their own trouble. They always want the beautiful little girl. She doesn't turn out so great after all. You know. Now, see? All one group, all in one place. I believe Jehovah. That's better than our day does. You say, you believe Jehovah? Sure do. Tell me who he is. Well, you tell a person, hey, when you think of Jesus, I'll tell you what you think of. You think right away of the man Christ Jesus, the high priest up there right now. Wrong. Brother Branham talked to pillar fire and called that the body. Oh, I can't see that. Right, you can't see that. You won't see it either. You aren't going to see it. They don't get right. They could say, we believe Jehovah. Listen, they scrapped with Jesus about that. They had a whole lot of them. I'm going to tell you, when God turned them over the way he did, they had a whole lot more going for them, in my estimation, than we have today when you consider what we've got against what they had. Yes, sirree. That's where he could put them under the fifth seal. Every last one, they'll come up. You bet they were blinded. Oh, today, brother, sister, we have a honky-tonk situation when it comes to true grace and gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a prostitute affair. They weren't that bad. No, sirree, I don't believe that. But they crucified them. They had to, see. So their revelation was more than we've got today. Now, you would have listened to the message of the hour if you did. If they really believed in Jehovah, they'd have listened to the message. If we really believed, we'd listen. Certainly, they had a lot of messages. But this was the message of the hour. Now, there's something that people don't want to believe. And I'm constantly harping on it. Because it takes a lot of dealing with it until you become relaxed and at ease with understanding a message of the hour. What is a message of the hour? It's the promise of the hour. Which promise is vindicated? God fulfilling his word. Not back there. Not Reformation. Not under 5 and 6 and most of 7. This is at the end time when the lights go out and curfew is called. Come into Goshen where it's light. See, they'd had a lot of messages. But this was the message hour. See, I believe the message of the hour. The blood was applied at the evening time. What is our message? Malachi 4, 5 and 6. Let's go back and take a look at Malachi. Don't be ashamed to go back there. Say, well, Brother Bill, we take that all the time. So what? Amen. You give me how many scriptures there's about John the Baptist. Everybody preaches on John the Baptist. John the Baptist, John the Baptist. I go with and praise God for John the Baptist. Give me some scripture outside of 3 or 4 of them. They're running ragged, running plumb around the world. We've got a lot of scripture. And you don't think you're going to run a ragged, kid, not around here. I'm not defending myself so I can blast you with this again or anybody else. I'm just telling you the truth. I mean, don't give me that stuff, you know, not as though you people here were doing it. I mean, I got a reason for saying this because people used to bug me by I was talking about Malachi 4. So I finally realized that it has to come from every single one of the bride. If there's 15,000 bride, and I hear see 15,000 bride, I should hear 15,000 times minimum. Amen. I think I've heard it by now. All right, for behold, the day cometh that you're burned as an oven. All the proud, yea, that do wickedly. Who are the proud ones? We're rich, increased in goods, and no lack of thing. And spiritually, they're horrible. They do wickedly. What's wickedly? The offer unto God outside the framework of the Word. They're off the Word. You want to know why the Roman Catholic Church and all these churches are getting so nice, 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 nice? They've got to be nicey, nicey, nice. You get more flies with syrup than you do with vinegar. Sure. And who's inside waiting? Mr. Spider. When you walk into my parlor, said the spider to the fly. Remember that little bit of poetry? If you don't remember it, you're just like me. I forget it too. The day that cometh will burn them up, said the Lord of hosts. Won't leave root nor branch. In other words, this is a great showdown for the lake of fire. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. He's going to come upon you. You'll go forth, grub as calves of the stall. You'll tread down the wicked, the ashes under your soles, your feet, in the day that I do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Now this is the process of time. Here's your shout, which leads to the voice, that leads to the trumpet, that leads to the ashes. Verse 5, behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. There won't be any ashes unless Elijah comes. What's he going to do? Turn the heart of the children back to fathers. That's going to stop you from being smitten. What's the promise of the hour? That's it. And Elijah's got to be made manifest. Sure. God's got to be made manifest. It's an exodus. Where's your exodus? Go back to Moses. That's why Brother Branham did it. Okay. They might have said, I'm a Jew. People say, now, I'm a Christian. I can show you my long membership. I want to tell you, I want you to tell me wherever I stole anything or wherever I was in a law court. Show me where I committed adultery. I've never done all of these things or something like that. Show me one place. That doesn't mean a thing. No, no. No matter how much trouble he went to, the covenant is without effect. It's non-effective. Now we've got both sides of the coin. I don't care how rotten you are. I don't care how good you are. The point is, are you born again? Like your old fella I talked to, remember, told you years and years ago down in Spencerville. That's west of Lima there, Route 117, Highway 66 right in there. Came to church one night, in Baptist church, and an old-timer, and I said, hey, I said, when are you born again? I went to the altar so-and-so. I said, I didn't ask you when you went to the altar. I said, when are you born again? He turned 14 different colors, scared. Evidently, never was born again. Well, you joined a church. You went to the altar. A man got offended because we don't have an altar. Well, let him get his own altar. I'm not being rough on anybody. But if you think you can put faith in one step that you took instead of God and get something because you had an altar experience instead of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you are all wet, my brother, my sister.
Amen.
All I can say, I'm sorry for you, but you better smarten up. Because you missed it. I've missed it. Anybody's missed it on those grounds. See? So it doesn't have a thing to do with you and your choice of what manner of living you have lived. It's when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Now that went for anybody from the age of accountability on. Personal confrontation. That doesn't mean a thing, no, no. How much trouble you went to, the covenant is without effect, it's non-effective. You say, well, I'm a Bible student, I don't care what you are. Without that covenant, the wrath of God is upon you. Now watch what he said. Doesn't say told me, he said that without that covenant. Now, if God didn't have a word for it, you don't have a thing. You've got nothing to look forward to. And if God didn't give you the token, you can't look for that word that God has. So, well, I got this Bible. That's what he said. I'm a Bible student. I've got a word. I've got a covenant. Oh, no, I'm sorry. You don't have the token, so you don't have a word. See, that's what I'm trying to tell you when Jesus was to the Pharisees. Why, they said, we believe in Moses. We got God. We got Abraham. We got this. He said, you have made everything void by your traditions. He said, you've taken everything away from yourself. Like he said to those, he said, if you'd have said, we are blind, your sin would not have remained. But now you say, you see your sin remaineth. You've got to understand these things, brother, sister. Without that cometh the wrath of God is upon you. All right, Malachi 4, the wrath of God is upon the people. Without what covenant? Without Elijah. Without the sun arising with healing. Who was here today? The Lord Jesus Christ in the form of the Holy Spirit with his prophet.
Amen. Hallelujah.
People can do what they want about it. I'm convinced of it. I don't know where. Look, if we didn't even get out of here with that, I'm sorry. We're still a million miles ahead of anybody else. You know what I mean? Let's face it. Where has anybody got one shred of evidence about anything? Oh, my, my. Of course, they just think we're crazy. Brother Branham brings that out, too. What is sin? Once a minute. I don't care what you are. Without that covenant, the wrath of God's upon you. Right. It has caught up with you. Yeah. Your sins will find you out. What is sin? Unbelief. You've disbelieved the message. You've disbelieved the word. You disbelieved the witness of the token itself. You disbelieved the witness of the token itself. When it has identified itself in the midst of us. Who's doing all the work? Brother Branham was? Yeah, sure. Manifestly, the person, the vessel. But God was in him. That's where the Son of Man ministry came in. How much, no matter how much you disbelieve it, it has got to be applied. See? Now remember, without that token, there remains no covenant participation, no union, no membership in Christ. No bride, no getting out of here. Now you see what I'm saying? What he's saying is this. They're preaching it everywhere. Hallelujah. Look at the signs of the times. Anybody can see this is the end. Everybody knows what's going on. This is it. People come into Christ. This is it. And there's no Christ to come into. Because you're coming into membership, into tongues, into manifestation. You're not coming into the token itself. The great token giver, the great seal. See? Understand what I'm saying here, brother, sister. Now listen, you've disbelieved the message. You disbelieved the word. That's Logos. And this printed page itself. You disbelieved what this vindicated man brought you concerning the two. And here it is, you disbelieved the witness of the token. He's right here proving everything. Why don't you receive him? And remember, Brother Brandt said, there is no physical evidence or sensation. That fools them all. Sheer unadulterated revelation.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Brother, sister, when Brother Branham brought out the seals, the thunders, what he did, there's no way the devil can do one thing about it, because the elect only have the truth, the answer. They'll never be deceived. 90% of us could be here this morning. I'm one of you deceived. But I'm going to tell you, if there's one elect sitting here this morning, and I trust we all are, and I don't see nobody isn't, that person will never be fooled by the devil. No way shaking for him. It's too late, brother, sister. He can't do it. He can't do it. They got a hold of it. They're sealed in. What are you going to do? That's why Brother Rance, he's screaming. He's been identified. Devil's been identified. No matter how you did much, you disbelieve it. It's got to be applied. Oh, brother, that's a stinger right there. Now they say, well, where's your Branham prophet? He got smeared across the road. Ha ha. That judger, he got judged. We're glad he's gone. Now where's everything? Well, let's wait a while. Let's just wait a while. Let's see if I can find you something here. I'll let you go pretty quick because I'm tired, you're tired, we're all tired. Now, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the Father's fellowship of all things continues within the being of creation. For this they willingly ignore. You're ignorant of. That by the word of God the heavens of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world then was that then was being overflowed of the water perished. But the heavens and earth which are now by the same word are kept in store reserved in the fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Now what's he telling you here? He's telling you that things are going on very slowly because God has reserved all of this for judgment, but already His Word has liberated us unto freedom. Now that we're taken care of, we can sit until doomsday almost, as it were. Oh, that gets people rattled. That gets them so they say, well, that would prophet William Branham. Oh, pfft. I always knew he had a bad spirit. He was a devil. See where it's going to take them? They're held in judgment. Everything's going to be judged. We've already had our judgment. We're getting out of here. You say, well, I wish it was quicker. I'm right with you. That's God's business, not mine. That's His business. I can't tell Him what to do. You can't tell Him what to do.
Amen.
Can the thing for Him say to Him the form, why are you doing this? That's His business, not ours. We just better mind our business according to the Word. May God give us grace. It's got to be applied, brother, sister. Look, the whole thing goes together. Logos, manifested Logos, vindicated Logos, vindicated prophet, and the word that came to us. You have got to stand with it. That lets you know you're identifying. But only God knows how many really are in there. I don't know. You might say, I believe it, I believe it. I believe it is the truth. I accept it as truth. That's all good, but yet, you got to take it yourself. You got to believe. Now, if you've done all of that, you look at Brother Sitcher. I realize that many times you take one medicine to make the other medicine work. This you don't. You don't take the Holy Ghost to make the Holy Ghost to make the Holy Ghost to make the Holy Ghost work. You got to see it. You don't have that at all. You have the Holy Ghost in you, which proves the blood has stood for you and done the sanctifying work, been perfected by the blood, so the Holy Spirit can come in and you're sealed away. But that's where it is. Doesn't go another direction. That's it. Then it's all to the good, but yet it's got to be applied. See this one Jew standing there stirring the blood as the Lamb was bleeding, saying, "This is Jehovah." Okay, here's the pillar of fire. Bless God. Right today. And there stood a priest saying, "Yes, sir, I believe that's true." But on his own house, it hasn't been applied. He doesn't want to identify himself out there with that group. No, sir. These fanatics with the blood in the door. What's he saying? This Branham Tabernacle, this so-called prophet. This man that gets up there and tells people things that nobody should tell people, things like that, because it sounds like he's boasting and blowing. Every man's got a witness for himself, brother, sister. Don't kid yourself. You've got to stand with the truth of the witness. Don't fool yourself on that count there. All right. With that group, no, sir, those fanatics with the blood in the door. He doesn't want that identification, no matter much of a priest he was, how much he knew the world, how well he'd been raised, what works he'd done, how much he'd given the poor, how much he'd sacrificed. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Brother Brown just wasn't spouting off here to talk. Again, I knew the man personally very well. I knew the congregation to a degree. Why do you think he talked this way? Because it was there. That was there. As well as out in the world. He said, "Brother Bill, what are you talking about?" "I'm talking about this. All the names that Brother Branham mentioned during his many sermons and men that I'd met, where are they today and where did they go right afterward? Where were they?" Do you realize the number of people that come in since Brother Branham left the scene? And how did they come in? They came in by faithful preachers. The spreading of the word. How many real believers? I don't know. That's between them and God. I can't do a thing about that. But Brother Branham was not just talking here. He was pouring his heart out, as he said, in desperation. He said, "Branham, let me tell you something." He said, "I'm preaching this sermon as though nobody has received the Holy Ghost. The same when I preach salvation, it's as though nobody had received the Ghost." He said, "Certainly, many of you have, if not the majority. But there's some here who haven't. So I must preach this way for the urgency of getting it across to examine our hearts." You say, "Well, I examine my heart." Look at the Word and see how fully you concur. The Holy Spirit says amen to every word. What more do you want? What more can you ask for? "Don't ask me, brother," says the prophet. Said. How can you have the token and disagree with the token? And how could you have the token and not agree with the token? And then if you agree with the token, which means I believe I'm to receive it, which you do receive, and the mysteries unfold, what do you want for your nickel? Do you want Christ to die again or something? It's a message. Then when you concur and you come in union with that word, the mystical union takes place, the marriage is on. You're just waiting for the wedding supper. What evidence do you want? He said, "All right, but you're a little worried about your personal life." He said, "Look, what were you before? What are you now? Now, if you're all the tizzy to do certain things, and I'm not saying there isn't compulsions and things that we want to lend ourselves to, and I'm not speaking only in the terms of sensual expression of sex, I'm talking in many things. There's greed and there's this and the other thing too. You see, no, that's not it. Hold it. You've got a condemnation." See, a lot of people get condemned about anything. But I'm talking now, there's a real Holy Spirit condemnation. Holy Spirit trying to help you. What were you back there? What are you now? See? You can't go beyond that, brother. Sir, because you can raise the dead and be full of the devil. You can be a Judas. So if you're looking for something to set the world on fire or some indication or vindication, let me put it this way. You better check yourself out again. And start from square one. Because that's not going to work. You're coming right down to this. It's already been done. Will you take what he said, the simple step? I receive what he said I'm to have. And it's over. Now, brother, sister, that's it. See? Now, I gave to the poor, and so on. Paul said, if I give my body to be burned as sacrifice, all my goods to feed the poor, faith to move mountains, and so forth, and speak in tongues like men and angels, all these other things. I'm nothing until the token's been applied. You see, Brother Branham, that's not true. You, Brother Branham, you should not preach that way. Oh, yes, he should, because you see, God is love. That's number 8. See? And remember, that chapter is where perfect comes, and part is done away. See? So he's here. Until this token, that's what I'm speaking of on tonight, the love. God is love. Love is here. You say, well, therefore, therefore I'll manifest love. You should manifest love, but you never manifest God's love. God is the one who loved you and came down to see you again. What are you talking about? You're not going to take God's place now, either by virtue of any other sense of your imagination, anything else. You're just going to fit in the groove where he puts you. That's where the assurance and all these other things come in to make for a body. My. See? When your feet are happy with your hands, and your hands are happy with your eyes, which simply means they feel good. The other day, after eating a little bit too much meat, they talk about the arthritis in my little toe on the left foot. Put me through the ceiling about 4 times in a row that night. And my hand wasn't happy with my little toe. Until it got in harmony with the rest of it. Well, that's what we're talking about. Be in harmony with him in the head. Don't try to be the head. Don't try to work from his position. Work under his position. What he says, well, how he loves you. Believe. Do the simple thing. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Now, until this token is, when I speak on night, the love. Now, until this has been applied, I'm nothing. I don't care. You might have cast out devils. You might have healed the sick by your prayer faith. You might have done all these things. But if the token's not there, you're under the wrath of God. Anointed ones of the end time will be there as chaff, brother, sister. You might be a believer. You might stand on the pulpit and preach the gospel. Sure. Many come in that day, say, Lord, are not prophesying in any. Priests in your name. Cast out devils. That's both Methodist, Baptist, Pentecost. Because you're prophesying to many people is preaching. Here, Jesus will say, depart me, I never knew you. Depart me, you that work iniquity, I never even knew you. When I see the token, I'll pass over you. It is God's requirement of the hour. The evening time message is to apply the token. Now, Brother Branham said in 1962, my message is to declare that he is here. And he said, the message is to apply the token. He is here. Do what he says. He's proved he is here. Do what he says. He is here. Do what he says and listen to what he says about it, and you'll be assured. So that's the picture. The Lord bless you. That's enough for today. We covered three whole pages just about. But that's all right. As I say, when we get some of this material finished, by the grace of God, we'll have no problem to finish the sermon. Let's rise at this time, shall we, to be dismissed. Gracious Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for your goodness and mercy to us, giving us strength, and above all, giving us love to be with your people, loving you, Lord, and wanting to serve you better. And by your grace, we shall be better servants of thine, O God. O Heavenly Father, take us out of ourselves into yourself as never before. We believe, Lord God, trying to come into you the way we have. We brought too much garbage with us. Burn it all out, Lord God, in heaven. Burn it all the dross. We don't want to be just those who talk the word. We want to be those who live the word, because that's where the satisfaction is, O God. To be not just hearers, but be doers, be believers right down the line. Cleanse us, we pray, and purge us, O God. Hear us this morning, Father in heaven. You're obligated to hear us, Lord, if we ask according to your word. Your own word says so. And then if you hear us, we know we have the petition. So, Father, we know we have your petition. It's already been granted. Lord God of mercy, don't let us duck it somehow. May the petition come through unscathed, but 100% answered. Cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Purified completely by the Holy Ghost. Living a real doxology unto thee, O God, to the praise of the glory of thy grace. Heal the sick amongst us, Heavenly Father. Help us, O God, as we never helped us before, because we know the hour is closing out and it's getting desperately serious. Help us, Lord, to be desperately serious. This is that hour. Everything, Lord, you know in our hearts, Father, we're just screaming out to you, because that's all there's left in us. The eagle screamed back to you, O God. You scream, we're screaming back. Take us up on eagle wings, and unto thee we'll give the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The Lord bless you. 7:30 on Wednesday night, and then next Sunday again.